back, then get the hell out of here. Might is a key word, John said. What's the odds on that happening? John looked at his teammate, Andy, a Filipino Special Forces corporal. It was a U.S.-Philippines joint operation. John liked operating with the Filipino military. They were the friendliest of people, but in the field, they were totally professional. Andy adjusted the focus on the binoculars. What the hell are they doing behind that hut? He said.
They're bringing stuff up the southern trail, the one we can't see from here. I was going to wait another 20 minutes and head over to the left, about 100 meters, near that overgrown trail. I want to see what they're collecting.
I just caught a glimpse of one of them between the huts, Andy said. It looked like he was carrying a box. But a box of what?
The boxes I saw were all different sizes, John said, and looked up.
Be careful. Sun's in just the right position to reflect from the glass in the binoculars.
I'll stick on these shades, Andy said.
He reached into the backpack next to him and pulled out an attachment for the binoculars. It shaded the lens from the sun. After mounting it, he went back to watching the camp.
Just a second, Andy said. The tree around the campfire just got up and are headed to the back of the huts.
Damn, John said as he grabbed his rifle and the case with the spare binoculars.
I should have changed location sooner.
He started to crawl to the left, covered by his ghillie suit, a cloth garment with attached loose strips of burlap made to look like leaves and twigs. It was an effective form of camouflage commonly used in his profession.
Just hang loose here. I won't be long.
The 100 meters, which would take him seconds to run, took 10 minutes to cover the distance at a crawl through the thick jungle underbrush.
About here should be good, he said to himself as he made a right turn.
He slowed his crawl until he was in a position to see the camp and raised the binoculars.
Well, let's see what's going on.
He was in a good position. He could clearly see the stack of crates and boxes behind one hut. Men gathered around them as one was opened.
Cans? John said to himself. Canned food?
He lay a minute more, watching the men sort through the collection. A tap on his shoulder caught his attention. He turned, annoyed, as he thought his partner had disobeyed orders and followed him. His annoyance turned to shock, as he found himself looking into the eyes of a strange face. It was small and brown, with a wide nose and long black hair. The human-like figure was, at the most, 4 foot tall, and held a staff in one hand. It raised an arm in the direction of the jungle behind him and pointed with 4 fingers.
Ka!
It said.
What?
John said.
What's ka?
Ka! Pa! Pa!
It said. John turned to look in the direction of the raised arm. He strained his ears and heard the rhythmic rustling of human legs walking through the jungle underbrush.
Damn, my rear's exposed, John said,
and took off at a fast crawl for the nearest cover. He log-rolled under a patch of low bushes and lay still. Through the underbrush, he saw 2 sets of human legs walk past in the direction of the camp. The journey back to the base camp was the most strenuous part of the day. 500 meters of crawling through thick tropical undergrowth, followed by 3 kilometers of walking while staying low. They took a different route each time so as not to wear a detectable trail. The final kilometer was up a steep hill, climbing through volcanic outcrops. The jungle flora gradually thinned as the slope increased. John looked down at his boots. Climbing volcanic rock was death to footwear. A good pair of boots lasted no more than a month.